Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone listening, and welcome to the Living Reason Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Phillips. It's May 22nd. Tonight's episode, just a movie review of Mad Max Fury Road, the two-hour-long chase sequence of perfection, review, commentary, whatever. I've been sort of a mess this week. Actually was busy, so I'm sorry there weren't many episodes this week. Just sort of decided this one spur of the moment. We're not scripted. So we'll see how well I can hold myself together for half an hour. If anyone's listening live and wants to ask any questions, you are free to do that at our number. And as always, two things to say, you know, if you appreciate the show, please share it with anyone who you think might appreciate the content. You can check us out on Facebook, just facebook.com/livingreason is one word, through Blog Talk Radio, if you know me privately through my Facebook, whatever. Okay. So, just to start, the funny story here was that I was planning on going to the movies with some friends, and Ex Machina, the sci-fi film about robot intelligence, looks very interesting, was at the movie theater we were going to go to, but not at the showing times we had available. So friends just started looking through the other movies that were out, and Mad Max came up. I had seen the trailer. It looked okay. And then we went to the review page on, I think Rotten Tomatoes is the big site, and the movie was just sitting at this inexplicably really high review score. Because from the trailer, the sense you got is just that it's, you know, there are cars and explosions and more explosions and guns, which there are. But you didn't get the impression that it could be a movie with these insane reviews where it was popping up at like 100% or 98% or 99%, wherever exactly. Because it just didn't genre-wise feel like a set of critics could all like a movie that looked like it was just explosions. And so we went to see it, and I have to say, the primary point, it is a perfectly executed, beautiful movie of just pure, unadulterated, insane action. It is fantastic. Everything is well executed from a technical perspective, right? The movie looks amazing. The action is done beautifully. So in that regard, perfect. Anyone who enjoys action movies, which I actually don't normally, I have to imagine would just love this movie. So on that account, you know, just on the first reading, I understood where the critic scores came from. It was, I could see how a ton of people could say this movie was, like, perfect, because I really think it's up there. For contrast, like, I was joking, you know, the Transformers movies are sort of all known for being these awful train wrecks of bad cinematography and confusing action sequences, and you can't tell what's going on. There's no sense of, like, cohesion. The plot in the Transformers movies, right? It's all exposition of plot followed by explosions. So for the contrast on that end, Mad Max is just, it's done, it's got this beautiful subtlety to it, storytelling-wise. You don't really get an explanation of anything. Verbally, you get images that show character progression and how they act and tone of talking to each other and mannerisms. So although the movie, right, the plot summary you can use is there are people in a car trying to get away from other people in a car for 2 hours in a gunfight. That's a fairly accurate, super concise summary. So, right, that's your basic plot. It's a chase scene done as a full movie. And that would be the essential thing I would say first. You know, one, I think the movie's fantastic. Just from the technical perspective, just as this mere, you know, spectacle of action, it's beautiful, it's well executed. It's got this really cool drama. You can follow what's going on, even though it's completely insane. Stylistically, there's something impressive about the fact that it's completely ridiculously over the top in every way, but makes that feel properly grounded. My joke selling this movie to people is that there's a guy who plays a guitar, which is also a flamethrower. And that seems like when you watch it, it just makes perfect sense. You just see it and you're like, that is appropriate. It fits into how this movie is working, and it's amazing. So I definitely recommend it. Anything from this point and me talking, I would consider spoilers. Okay. Again, a quick note, if anybody happens to be listening, wants to ask particular questions or anything of that nature, I'll be here. I don't know how to phrase things without sounding pretentious on this end. A few things, like I don't know the terms. The movie is very, what's that term? There's a certain artistic vibe to it that it's very minimalistic in certain respects. There's very little dialogue in terms of like the number of lines spoken, especially if you don't count sort of people yelling or saying reload or whatever. There's just very little dialogue along those lines. So all the character expression, the relationships or such are done non-verbally. So that's just very interesting. And as I'll keep reiterating, I think everything's done extremely well. So this movie with very little dialogue is very interesting in terms of characterization because it's done in this unique way that similarly, you know, the color's really cool, car design, everything like this. The movie is very interesting in terms of how it's not like other action movies. Another good reason to see it's like it's a very unique experience. Okay. So let's see. So thematic, I guess a final fun note. I never have seen the original Mad Max movies, that Mad Max Fury Road is sort of a just different continuity line of the working on some of the same themes. So I don't know how people who've seen the originals would feel about it. The general consensus has been that it's an extremely good movie. There's not really been any opposition to it. The plan is to get into some of this weird opposition that showed up that to some extent was a media fiction. Okay. So, once again, great movie. Go see it. I'm very angry that it didn't win last week because of some awful movie, which we will not mention, to be dramatic, beating it at the box office. Okay. So, just for the rest of the episode, and like I said, I'm non-scripted, so I'm sorry if I'm completely rambling. It is my worst character flaw, generally speaking. The funny thing that happened about Mad Max, and I'll just use to launch sort of the thematic commentary, is there was this weird ripple that came out that it was quote-unquote radical feminist propaganda. I just realized I think I might have spelled propaganda wrong in my episode description. Spelling, not another problem. There was quote-unquote radical feminist propaganda, which I heard this just before we get to the movie. I was like, this is sort of sounded ridiculous. Having watched the movie, this is still very ridiculous. So, of course, the question that falls out of that is just, you know, why was this weird criticism made of a movie that, if you watch the trailer, looks like a giant series of explosions and more explosions and people shooting at each other, followed by more explosions. So, what actually happened, and I think it's, again, done beautifully, so sort of the presupposition here is I think everything about this movie was basically perfect. So anything I talk about, I thought was great. What Mad Max Fury Road did that caused this weird criticism is the female characters in it are written as if they're people, which is often a problem with action movies that write women like side character slash love interest. Interesting, there's no tacky romance subplotting stapled into the movie for the sake of demo hitting or whatever these movies do. So generally, you know, women in the film are done what I would say is extremely well in terms of actual characterization and being interesting and doing choreography well. I'll save some spoilers, so spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie, it's a good time to cut out here. One funny thing that I didn't catch at first, though I realized after it was part of the field, is that most action movies aren't willing to kill female characters. Or if they do, it's this, like, dramatic, oh my god, a woman died. This is more substantial than a man dying. Awful. Awful implicit sexism problem. Whereas Mad Max, you get to a point where there's just, like, 10 women that just get slaughtered in the normal course of the action. And it is sad, but it is only sad in the same sense that any protagonist dying is generally sad in a film. So that was great. So I think there's an old joke, or not joke, but the Game of Thrones writer, I think, was quoted once as saying that the reason he got credit for writing good female characters is he wrote women as if they were people. Sorry, I forget to breathe when I'm recording. And I think that sort of tongue-in-cheek reference to the problems with how women are done in film, it applies the same idea, right? They wrote the female characters as if they were humans, because women are people, obviously. I will spare everyone the cliched statements of normal sorts of quote-unquote feminist stuff. But they wrote the female characters well, which made the movie work really well, because I'd say the main cast is roughly 50-50 gender split. It depends on who you want to count. There's obviously more male characters on screen, but in terms of speaking lines and screen time, it feels like it's a lot closer to even than most action movies are. That's just a feel thing. I didn't run any math on that. So that was part of the so-called critique of this movie. The second one, which is kind of interesting, is that, and this is probably worth some substantial discussion, that all the male characters in the movie, except one or two, are really bad guys. So on the one hand, there's something of a valid criticism here that you don't see any women in the movie who aren't the good people, and the vast majority of the men you see in the film are bad people. This is sort of awkward initially. So I can see how someone could initially make that criticism, that it's doing this weird reverse sexism while trying to do this sort of feminist theme. However, I think what got missed in this is that it's largely implied that most of the male characters are just horribly misguided and themselves victims of this terribly violent regime that is running this small patch of wasteland. Fun fact, it's hard to breathe properly while recording. Sorry, I keep mentioning it. So in my opinion, it's a fair observation, right? The movie has no female characters who aren't good guys, quote-unquote good guys. So the vast majority of the characters are men who are bad people. That is an accurate statement. Thematically, I don't really see it as a problem, because it's certainly not treating the fact that they're men as the explanation of the problem with their behavior, by and large. You get your leader who's trafficking in sex slaves, which is obviously bad and has a certain male flavor to it in the film, but nowhere is it implied that it's a male thing, that they're violent or whatever. You just don't get that implication. So I think that criticism's unfair. And I think that'll get hashed out a lot. At some point, I will read up properly to do some substantial commentary on various feminist themes in philosophy, literature, whatever. I am smart enough to not try and successfully comment on that without researching it, so I don't have to expose all of you to my awful, awful, uneducated opinions at times. We do prepare and think before we talk too much here. Okay. So some personal notes on the film, because like I said, it was just very, very beautiful. One complaint I will make is they have the classic action movie problem that people fire guns right by their ears but don't go deaf. They reference the tinnitus, I think it's called, the ear ringing, once or twice. But you have people firing guns constantly who aren't going deaf. I accept that as a suspension of disbelief thing. I try very hard to. It still annoys me more than it probably should. It certainly doesn't detract from the rest of the film being so amazing. Another small criticism. I saw it in 2D because 3D technology just does not work for me. I can see the 3D, I just don't like it. There's probably 10 to 20 seconds of film that you can clearly tell you're looking at an effect that's meant for the 3D version. It didn't look bad in 2D, but it can mess up your sense of immersion. You're like, aha, that is a 3D effect. So you see it, and it's like, eh, whatever. I disagree. One criticism that got mentioned a lot was that, you know, there's not that much explanation of anything. You get this initial narration that there was a nuclear war, da-da-da. I actually think this is beautiful because I think it makes this film very... It's more that you get to see this action and evaluate it. And there's nothing in the film that doesn't missing that needs to be there. So if you view it more as sort of a legend or mythic explanation, right, there's not 10 minutes of carefully narrating the details of world history that led to this state of affairs. It's there are events that are unfolding, which you attempt to interpret and grapple with. So I didn't find that a problem. It apparently annoys some people. So there's stylistic choices that are very weird. Right, the film is basically one giant action sequences with short breaks to sort of reload. Likewise, the action is very clean in terms of you being able to follow the geometry of what's going on. If you attempt to draw it out, it all makes sense. It appears to be very held together. Though, in a very literal sense, things might happen too fast for you to keep up. Just depending on personal, just as a visual thing, you might feel confused if things are moving too fast for you. Literally, just at velocity, not the, as I mentioned earlier, Transformers problem where the screen is actually a jumble of stuff you can't figure out what is what. Just that if things are moving extremely fast, you could get confused. I did not, and I don't really watch action movies that much, because they're sort of cliched, as opposed to this one, which is this beautifully original work. So there's some criticism. The thematically it's worth mentioning. One of the weird things that came out of this movie is we got the female action hero protagonist being executed perfectly. Charlize Theron, I think that's her name, character done very brilliantly in terms of not doing any of the stupid things like emphasizing the female action hero trope, but still done realistically. So for instance, when she's fighting guys that are twice her size, she's not stronger than them because we're doing a female action hero. This is actually a problem that comes up. There's a movie, I think it's Colombiana, which is entertaining, but it looks awful because there's a woman who probably weighs like 150 pounds just beating up dudes who weigh like 250. And she's, like, you know, clearly stronger than them, the way the choreography is done, which is awful. Whereas Mad Max, right, they properly do the action, so you get a female action hero that isn't defying the laws of physics because she's winning firefights or doing stuff that isn't trying to win an arm wrestling contest. So that's actually really well done, in my opinion. I think other people have probably commented on it better. Just to wrap up, because that's just sort of my general opinion. You know, once again, if you listen to the whole thing, you haven't seen the movie, you should really go see it. It's a very beautiful sort of thing. Probably my definitely top five I've ever seen. Doesn't top Interstellar, but me and Interstellar have a special relationship, which I still get made fun of for loving that Interstellar so much. But I would definitely recommend seeing it if you haven't seen it. Very cool movie, especially. Right? I think it's very unique, and I think it executes on what it was doing perfectly. I actually found out today the Blu-ray is going to have a black and white version, and maybe a black and white version with just the music track. Given that they did the unique style so awesome, I'm very interested on whether that will work or not, like work out well. I hope so. So it's another cool experience. Definitely 5 stars, 10 out of 10, whatever absurdist metrics we use for reviewing movies. Definitely up there. I'm going to finish on that note. If anyone wants to ask any questions, you know, Facebook page, Blog Talk Radio page, reddit.com/livingreason is a username I have on there. If you want to comment on anything, talk some more, point out stuff I missed, be glad to talk, as I always am. Hopefully I'll be getting content back to you on a regular basis. I'm trying to get a second job, so who knows what strange things will happen. And as always, like I say, if you enjoy the content, please share it with anyone you think might enjoy it. If you want to convince anyone to go see this movie with you, you can link them to this review and cut to this end part where I say, you should go see this movie. It is really, really awesome. No, it is. It's really awesome. Just beautiful. Let's see. So on behalf of myself, and also thank you to George Miller for Flamethrower Guitar Guy. I hope that thing lives forever. Beautiful. Beautiful movie. Just going to sign off with that. I'm Joshua Phillips. This is Living Reason. If you like us, please share us. We are social media, whoring a little bit. But thank you for listening, and have a good day.